The QUTV Hawk Talk podcast, another edition, is officially October, our first show here in October. All the boys are here, Wyatt, Will, and Alex, and myself, Shane, your humble host. Thank you for joining us. Full show today. Lots to talk about, lots to get to. Let's start on the tennis courts. The QU men's and women's tennis teams were in action yesterday on Sunday, as of the recording of this podcast. They both fell to McKendree, 5-2. The number one and two singles on the women's side played really well. Layla East Alston and Nicole Lau each picked up victories. Michaela Hampton and Noni Updike won their doubles match as well. And on the men's side, Eric Weiler won in the number three matchup, 6-2, 6-4. And Kevin Nathan took the number fours match in comeback fashion after dropping the first set, 4-6. Came back and won 6-4, 10-4 after that. And then doubles, Weiler and Brendan Everhart won the doubles match, 6-4. And men's and women's golf both in action in Springfield, Illinois, concluding the Dan Salisbury Memorial today, a two-day event. So we'll look forward to getting those results from that as well. And also yesterday, I'm going to throw this to Will. He was at the QU women's soccer scrimmage yesterday, called a little bit of lacrosse as well. Will, kind of take me through your day and kind of talk about what you're seeing out there on the pitch and as well with the lacrosse team as well.
Yeah, yesterday getting to go the opportunity to go see some live Hawks action. It's been good to see as Hawktober has begun. I've been able to get out to a baseball and a squad for a little bit, then lacrosse both last week, but then getting the opportunity to do soccer. And it was nice to see the women's soccer team. They're a team that's coming off a season that had some disappointment, but they bring a lot of players back, and they also bring in a new face. Samuel Thomas will be in his first year at the direction of the program, and the team looks pretty good. One thing last year that you could criticize the team about is their lack of offensive production, but this inner squad, they all came out, and the touches were actually pretty clean, considering they haven't got a ton of touches recently. And also, it was interesting because five goals were scored, and a couple of familiar faces also found the back of the net. There's also some new faces as well. Maddie Bauer and Lauren Crane both scored, but also
Jessica Felix
had a goal, just a sophomore. So there was some good action there in terms of the goal-scoring ability from the team. Went out there, shot some video, so got to be on the sidelines a little bit and see the teams, and then also in the press box and up top for a little bit. And it was fun to see. Also, they got a couple goalkeepers as well. So that's always a good when you're doing an inner squad, when you're competing against others for starting spots in this pseudo off season right now. So they got a couple goalkeepers. I know there's competition there, but it seems like there's just competition all across the field. Like, the teams were pretty good, both sides. I know it was a 4-1 result, but they both looked pretty good, and they're pretty solid. I think they're going to do that every Sunday, so I'd encourage everybody to try to get out. I think they're just allowing family members in the stands.
That's correct. So that's all you saw was just a couple of families up in the stands.
There's
and
a
you
lot.
On the
there's a lot of fans.
There were.
There's
there
a
were
a lot of family members. I mean, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was curious about the turnout.
A lot of family members just Hawks playing Hawks, but family members, but also students came, and they were around the fence because they weren't technically allowed to be in, but there's a decent amount of students doing that. And then me and a couple other people from the athletic department working it. But, no, it was pretty cool, and we're going to try to continue to, like, see what we can do in terms of promoting the broadcast to see if we can get more students involved, maybe people calling the games at some point. But I was really impressed, honestly, with their touches and the balls that they played, and because they're a team who's a few years ago, they rose as high as fourth in the country. They were a very solid program, but they fell off the last couple of years. I know Mark Hager was here for 2 years. They made the tournament one of the 2 years he was here, but them missing the tournament like they did last year, that's really unheard of if you look at the history of the program. So overall, it was really fun to see, and I'm excited to continue to see how the team can develop during this time, because the inner squad was only 22 and a half minutes each half, so they playing less. And you could kind of tell toward the latter stages of the second period they played, fatigue was definitely a factor. People putting their hands on their hips, their hands on their heads, and it's just because they haven't played. They weren't. I don't think they're ready for that yet, but that's good to get them in this position because being in shape is one thing, but being in soccer game shape is it's another dimension thrown at you, even as a soccer player, they'll tell you. So getting in that game shape, the only way to get in game shape is games. They could run all they want, but it's just a different type of thing. So it'll be fun to see, you know, the matches. We could gradually get longer and I'm sure more competitive as well. So I absolutely enjoyed it.
I believe those were 35-minute halves. Is that what they played?
They did 22 and a half.
22 and a half?
Yeah, okay. 22 minutes and 30 seconds, if I'm not mistaken, for each half.
Okay. So, yeah, they'll ramp those up a little bit. What do you like about Samuel Thomas? What do you think he's brought to this club?
He's really relentless. He's got a great vision for the pro. When you come in as a coach, and I know Quincy University has dealt with this in the athletic department for a lot of different coaches, first-year head coaches. We had a lot the last couple of years just throughout different programs. And one thing that's tough is when you're a student athlete and you come in and you're playing maybe 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, and you come in the next season and you have a new coach. I wasn't recruited by this guy. I wasn't. So it's hard to actually get everybody to be on the same page. But I think one thing he's done a tremendous job of is it seems like everybody's on the same page. It's his way they're following, and they're all uniting under him. He has a great vision for the program. I haven't seen enthusiasm around this program in a long time, but he brings so much enthusiasm to the program, and that's exactly what the girls need. They need guidance, they need direction, and they need someone who's going to be a fearless leader with enthusiasm. And it doesn't matter if they weren't recruited by him. He's focused on winning a GOVC championship, and they're all focused on that goal. They don't care really about anything else. And you could really see, I mean, they were getting feisty out there. It was fun to watch. I like watching soccer. They're a team that, you know, they're going to hit you, you know. And he'll even tell you, like, a lot of people love watching the quick pace of men's soccer, but he's talking about his women's team. They're really strong and quick. And they're a fun team to watch. They'll go hit each other. They've got really strong midfielders, and that's kind of his vision. That's kind of his personality, and that's what I really love about him is because he's able to do that, and he's able to focus on playing with strength, playing with speed, and not being fearless. And he's really a fearless leader of the team, and that's really what they need. So that's the number one thing that sticks out to me from Mr. Thomas, the first-year head coach.
Well, good luck to the women's soccer team, of course. That schedule still kind of up in the air, still trying to work some things out. Have you heard anything on that front?
I haven't heard anything. I think they're going to do GOVC only next semester, and it's going to be obviously a condensed schedule, maybe anywhere from 5 to 10 games. I'm not actually sure yet on that front, but I think it's going to be similar to what women's volleyball is going to be, which is conference only, shortened season. But we don't know, and that's the number one thing in the day-to-day right now, is what's the scheduling going to look like? Are we going to be working, are we going to have a game 7 days a week with all the sports in one season, or are we going to try to jumble them up all in one day? So Monday, you could have games in the afternoon, the evening, even later in the evening, or are you going to spread it out? You don't know. So I think the logistics departments for scheduling, they're being stressed right now to the nth degree.
And I would imagine you work in the athletics department, of course. I can't imagine what scheduling and just what a hassle having so many sports in the spring at one time. I've heard that they're possibly maybe going to have some sports run from, say, like the beginning of February through March, and then the rest like April through May, kind of split it up a little bit. Is that kind of what you've heard?
I've heard a couple different options on that, where they use the fall sports and they do it maybe in the earlier stages of the second semester, and then the originally scheduled spring sports in the later stages of the second semester. But one component is also that there's winter sports too, and there hasn't been a decision yet made on if those will start in late November, like the basketballs and the indoor track and fields. And Division I basketball has made the decision to do that. And I think that GLBC will likely follow suit, but I really, that's just me. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. So that will be interesting. And I think they're just going to kind of have to see, okay, what sports can we kind of maneuver in terms of, well, if they're in Pepsi Arena, they're indoors. Weather's not as big of a factor, but it could be more for football or soccer. So I think they're being very conscious of that, maybe moving those later in the semester so the weather is better. That would be my train of thinking for that. But in terms of the schedule coming out, I think they're going to start moving forward. Now that we're in October, we're getting closer and closer to needing the schedule. So I think definitely by the end of this month, if not in the end of a couple of weeks, we'll have much more information on teams coming out with decisions and scheduling for winter and then these fall sports that are moved and also the spring sports and the schedules and what they're going to look like, because everybody's going to need to know and need to plan around all those events.
Of course, we'll keep you updated if we hear anything about any schedules or anything. It's all, everything we're saying right now is pure speculation, of course. Pretty much anything during this time is pure speculation. But what isn't pure speculation is that QU baseball is starting to ramp some things up with some fall inter-squad scrimmages. Alex Aubuchon is a part of those scrimmages. We kind of talked about some scrimmages last week and had some more over the weekend. How'd those go, Alex?
Well, I tell you what, Shane, the team's looking pretty solid. We really are. There was it was a nice weekend. Sun was out. Nice factor there. Everybody was throwing well, throwing hard, which is what we want to see. But we've still got some things to work on, obviously. Walks are a bit of a problem for the pitching staff. But, I mean, when you have a good lineup like we do, our pitching coach tells us all the time, fellas, this is going to be the best, if not, or one of the best, if not the best lineup you're going to face all year in Division II. We have a quality lineup, 1 through 9. These guys can hit. So, you know, you can't take your bats off. And, you know, we're still early in the season. It's been 6 months since these guys have seen live pitching. It's been 6 months since we've pitched against live hitters. So, I mean, the ball's in both courts. It goes both directions. But as far as how the games have actually been going, the flow is not terrible. It feels like a baseball game. It rolls like a baseball game. It looks like a baseball game. Are there still some errors? Definitely, yeah. Are people still, you know, uncomfortable? Yeah. Are they still, you know, not back 100%? Most definitely. When you walk 48 people in 46 innings, obviously that's not back 100%. But it's moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about that lineup. This is a lineup that hit 333 as a team in the abbreviated season, of course, in 15, 16 some odd games, 16 games, and hit 25 home runs. Oh, and yeah. Granted, pretty much if you're going to be on the pitching staff at QU, you better throw dang near 90 miles an hour, exactly, or you're not seeing many innings.
Mm-hmm. We have so many guys.
You're right,
Shane.
Hard.
Yeah, definitely. You got to keep the ball low. And it's, but also with hitters of this quality, what the pitching coach preaches to us is it's not just about how hard you're throwing, because these guys can time up 90. Like, 90 is not that fast to them, and if it's straight, they're going to hit it. You got to keep the ball low. You got to have you have to be able to spot secondary pitches. You have to have a good secondary pitch, and honestly, you need to have two pretty decent secondary pitches if you're going to make your way through this lineup. You got to be able to throw them for strikes, because if you don't, they're just going to sit and wait on the fastball, and then dead red, you are done for.
This team can hit the fastball with the best of them. Now, how's your development coming along? You're a pitcher.
Well, I have thrown pins the last 2 weeks because I was quarantined earlier in this school year, so I am 2 weeks behind. But I am actually going to get to throw my first live this week. As far as progression goes, I'm about where I want to be. It was kind of around where it was last year, a little better, which is obviously what you want moving forward. But, you know, I'm excited to see what it's going to look like on Wednesday.
We're excited for you. You guys excited for him?
Excited. Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, might have to come out and watch. Let us know, like, when the time is. I know we got, class up here on Wednesdays, but sometime after that.
For sure.
I'd love to come see if they're allowing people to come in and watch, which I think
you
are.
Fans were there, and Shane even went out to one of the inner squads. And, I mean, that's kind of fun, like, it's just internal operations on campus. I mean, instead of them teams traveling everywhere like a season, like, okay, you can go to a baseball field, you can go to the soccer field, you can go to the you can just go to the fields, and if they're allowing it, go watch, you know, your classmates and peers, and it's fun, I think. I mean, for someone who loves sports, but we need to introduce Wyatt to the podcast. What, how's it going?
I feel like we've been abandoning him.
Oh, no, it's good. It's been very entertaining listening to you guys. It is exciting that the sports are kind of like nearby, you know, on campus. Because one big problem throughout the years is that, yeah, it's, you know, that whenever I've gotten in the mood of like, oh, I'd like to see one of our games and stuff, it's usually an away game. And then the times they're in town, I'm busy with school. So it is good to have more of those opportunities.
You still busy with school now?
Well, it's all online, so I just save that for later and then and go on.
It's all online, yeah.
Well, a lot of it is, yeah.
Except this class. Online. Except this class right here, yeah.
Hey, what about, yeah.
This is my obligation. This is why I'm on campus.
Mondays and Wednesdays. It's the only reason we're
just
here.
You guys. This is my whole life.
Your guys only online. Your guys' only face-to-face class is this class?
I have one other one.
So you have one other. This isn't even a class for Shane. So what's your other face-to-face?
Theology of Death.
Theology of Death.
Oh, I've always wanted to take that one.
What a mood setter.
Well, yeah, you can sign up.
Well, it's already got those credits.
Nothing.
Oh, but you always wanted to take it. You can always take it.
I got other class I got
to
get in.
You've always wanted to take it. You could take it if you wanted.
Well, this is your last shot.
Yeah, definitely.
This fall. It's really? Not offered in the spring.
No.
Oh, and you're graduating, aren't you?
Well, yeah, so sounds like your SOL.
So long. Sorry about you, brother.
So long.
Sorry. You'll never get to achieve your goals, I guess.
Yeah, I'll just have to, you know, look that up online or something.
Yeah. Life is full of bitter disappointment. Get used to it.
It's true.
Yeah, at least that's what Alex thinks. But, you have face-to-face, and then you guys have just these two, right? Just this class?
Literally just this.
Yeah. And so the online's kind of interesting.
It's difficult in a different way than classes are supposed to be, you know, like
time management. Alan.
Yeah. It's all just like, when am I going to do this? And then you don't do it until the last minute.
I've treated some of my online classes like eating, just do it all at once, you know, just grind through it.
Hate that, man. There's my classes are writing intensive. So if I tried to do that, I'd be writing for like a day, over a day straight.
Yeah,
I took
one Saturday and I just got like 20 assignments done for an online class because they posted it. And I was like, I treated it like just I'm going to gobble it all up at once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one I had to do the other day where I had to, I had to look through 50 articles or something just to write a little bit about them. Like it was just busy work, it seemed.
Yeah.
But it's the easiest assignment, really, if you just did it. Like, if I got that, when I get that assignment at the beginning of the week, I should just do it, and it's over. Yeah. But I waited until I think I had 15 minutes left.
Oh, you're timed. Oh, no. You're timed. Well, I kind of treat, not like eating, that's a bad analogy. I treat it like Nike. Just do it.
Just do it, yeah. That's good advice. Or you can play about schoolwork. Just do it.
Well, it's just like this or that.
Yeah.
The assignment, I guess my mentality's been like, this won't matter if I think 30% harder on this and do something a few percentage points better. Like, my thing is just do it and just do your best. That's just like a life philosophy, you know. But if you overthink forever and ever and ever, you won't do it. You'll just do nothing. So I wanted to just do it, get it done, and do my best on it. And you can never do anything less, or like all you can do is your best. So just do your best.
Yeah, and it's that motivation that gets things done. You know, just the feeling I need, like, just I'm gonna do it right now. Yeah. It is hard though this semester with that, because like me and Alex, we're here on campus. You know, we live in a dorm, and he's got roommates, but I do not. I have a single room, and it is kind of, just in that environment, it is kind of hard to get motivated to do anything because, oh, what do I have to look forward to this week? Homework, and then maybe, like, practicing for sports. Me, it's this class, homework, and sleep. So that's why
this is in your top three.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, though.
It's just a priority. It's probably this class is number one, then homework, then sleep. which is not good.
This class, homework, sleep.
Yeah, that's I like this class.
Sleep being
so
your
important.
Third priority in life. How many hours a night do you get? That's pretty high in priorities, yeah. Right?
Well, I have insomnia, so it's I get about 5 hours every night.
Oh no!
So, but I obsess over sleep because I need it. So it's
you need it, and it's a high priority. And I feel like for all of us, it should be a high priority. But I mean, it can be challenging when you're. Struggle with time or you just can't sleep if you have insomnia. Do you like have any techniques to get better sleep?
Yeah. Well, one thing is planning out your day of making sure that everything that's physically intensive is early on so that your body is already wore down so that the rest of the stuff that happens will slowly get you into that position of like, all right, now it is time to rest. Now it's time to rest because that energy you get in the morning is used through the day, and then by the time it's nighttime, it's depleted. So I run in the morning, and then I get everything done before about 4, and then after that, that's when I start winding down.
Wow. That's pretty insightful. I mean, I know, like...
This is years of development.
Here at this, a lot of work is going into this.
A lot of thought. There's this calendar's, like, planned out. Like.
But with insomnia, then what do you experience on a nightly basis with your sleep?
Well, usually it's just when I'm getting ready for bed, that's when I start to think about everything I have to do for the rest of my life. And so that's the hard barrier.
And you try to...
And then you just wake up again. You get restless, and then you get your second wind, you know, at like 11 when you're trying to go to bed.
Yeah, how do you stop that thinking? Because I've had that before, too, where you're just trying to, like, solve the world in your bed, but you can't because you're just laying down.
Yeah, when you lay down to go to sleep, that's when your brain is at its...
Wide awake, baby.
Most awake.
Running. It's thinking about anything and everything.
Anything and everything.
They say that you get your best ideas right before bed, and so that you should write them down, because when you go to sleep, they're gone. You'll be like,
in the morning.
Yeah, so maybe a tactic could be like, because sometimes I have so much thoughts, and I'm just like, I just need to like clear these out and
try to go to sleep.
Maybe what if we like put a notebook next to our bed, and if we had thoughts, or this is me, I don't have to say we, then you write it down, then we have good content to talk about on a podcast.
There we go. Motivational Monday.
Yeah. Some people do that kind of stuff with, like, dream journals and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I never remember my dreams, I feel like. Like, I've had a few dreams here or there, and I've had a couple of reoccurring dreams, but I don't wake up and, like, I know exactly what I dreamed about. Like, you know, but some nights I
forget most
of
your dreams.
Yeah.
I think technically you dream, like, every night, but remembering them is rare. Like, it's...
That's something like 95% of your dreams or something you don't remember, something like that.
Like when you wake up, I had a dream last night, but I just, as soon as I woke up, it's gone.
Yeah. Like, I remember what my dream last night made me feel like because it was intense. You know, like my dreams always get like really crazy and they don't make sense. They're like, happens.
Dreams,
you're like,
dreams don't
why?
Make sense.
Why? You know? And then I woke up with that feeling of, well, that was really intense, but wait, what happened? Like, and now it's gone. Like I just remember the feeling. That's
scary dreams are wild.
Ooh, yeah, waking up in a panic, like
when people mess with you when you're sleeping and like stuff like that. But like when you have a dream, and like I've had one where it's just scary, and it's like, have you ever had it where you know you're dreaming, like, but you keep your eyes closed because you wanted the dream to continue because the dream's kind of decent. One time I figured out I was like dreaming, and I figured out, oh, I'm dreaming right now, so this isn't real, so I can continue it to see what's going to happen, but this is real, so this is kind of like, it feels real, but I know it's a dream, so I'm going to let it continue, even though I know it's a dream, it's something super scary, so I was like, I'll let it keep going.
I think it's something about nightmares that kind of pull you out of it, that it's a dream. Like, if it's a pleasant dream, you're like, let me, like, embrace the fantasy. Let me just enjoy this as reality. But then when it goes to a nightmare, it kind of wakes you up in the dream, and then you can kind of control it. Yeah, I have had that experience.
So how often do you remember a dream?
I remember it probably, like, once a month. I know it's pretty often.
So I was going to say, once every 30 days, I could wake up and tell you. If you asked me 30 straight days, what did you dream about last night? Maybe once every 30 or 40 days, I could be like, it was this, you know? Mm-hmm. I was eating chicken finger, you know, like I could tell you.
Could you be like oddly specific about it though? Or would it just be like bits and pieces? I remember kind of.
Well, it's usually the ones that stand out that you remember, at least
and
for me.
It's usually never like a full plot. It's just like this happened in the dream, but I don't know when it happened or when it's just like a specific moment in the dream. At least for it's like moments. It's not like the whole plot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least for me.
It's a bunch of individual there's no
plot.
Moments.
There is just, no plot. There is no plot.
I just remember like my last dream. I opened my wallet and eggshells came out. That's the old, like, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I had a dream where I was like, someone was like walking up to my house in this big black van. I like got under the couch because I like wanted to hide. And it's tough to get under a couch, but in a dream, you're like your body's more malleable, I guess.
You just, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. Dreams are weird, man. It's
also
is this a sports podcast.
Yeah,
sorry.
Hey, people dream about wanting to play in the NFL.
That's true. The NBA, long
NHL, dream. The MLB. They dream about executing on their goals that could take years of hard work, dedication, and discipline and perseverance. So, I mean,
isn't it so sad when you have a dream that you've succeeded in a sport? Like you're the superstar in a dream, mm-hmm. and then you wake up and it's not real. And you were like, it was so close. I was so close to my game.
You've had that, Shane?
That's just depressing.
I mean, but it happens, doesn't it?
It does
like
happen.
You just wake up and you're like, I wish that was real.
I was gonna say, like, it's happened for you two and it's happened for me, but I think for Alex, like, he kind of lives that dream out, you know?
Yeah, he is being, the star.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was not a funny joke, but actually, on a real note, like, you fellas are having some good solid conversation about dreams, which is fascinating to me because I could count on one hand. Like how many times I dream, and I'm sure I dream, but I just like I never ever remember dreams.
And you have you have a good memory too.
I have a pretty solid memory, yeah. Fairly creative mind, and still I don't ever remember dreams. And if I do remember them, it's always some nightmare of some sorts.
Yeah, the nightmares and the night terrors will get to you. But also when we talk about sleep, right? Do you guys use an alarm to wake up in the morning?
Yeah. My alarm.
You do?
If I have to be up by a certain time, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. So I typically have to be up at a certain time, usually Monday through Friday. So I'll use an alarm. Sometimes on the weekend I won't. Do you use an alarm?
I have to or I won't get up.
You have to. So, and I know we were talking about iPhones last week, but do you just use the iPhone one? Bah, bah, bah.
Well, you
change it?
I do not use that one. That one is just too obnoxious. Which it wakes one? Me up and I'm automatically in a bad mood. Why would I want to do that?
What sound do you use? Like, do you have a...
I can't play it right. It's a softer one.
It's one of the presets on there?
Yeah, it slowly brings you into waking up instead of saying, wake up.
You're intentional about changing. Yeah. Do you just use the generic one?
I try to change it up every once in a while.
You change it up. That's interesting. Yeah. What about you, Wyatt? How do you change it?
I use one of the default ones, and it's one of the stock alarms that they use in TV shows and things like that. And so when I hear them on the TV shows, it does make me feel terrible. You know, like it does ruin my day because I'm like, that's my alarm.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was saying because, like, I always use the just default iPhone one, and it's just like, it's awful that
yeah, it's like, I don't know, I can't remember if it's like,
it's this.
Oh, that's what you use? Mine's the beeping.
Radar.
Yeah, and then I wake up just, you know, like, feeling awful just because of that alarm.
One's for timer.
Yeah, the timer's different. The one for the clock is the annoying one.
My alarm one is the radar. It's crazy.
Radar's the worst.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I automatically wake up and want to throw my phone across the room. Exactly. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What the heck is this? Like, snooze.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm actually going to now experience changing. Because why would I want to wake up and be in an automatically terrible mood? Terrible mood. Is that what you use? Is this what
this
you
one.
Use?
I think it doesn't come.
Like, what if we just woke up to like our favorite song or some motivational quote or something inspiring?
Waking up to Nelson.
Like,
the problem with songs is if you do dream, they show up in the dream, and sometimes alarms do too.
No way.
Yeah, because like I'll have a dream, and even my alarm will do this. So if I'm like having a dream about like a hospital or something. Then all of a sudden I'll hear an alarm in the background and I'll think, oh, there must be an emergency somewhere nearby. And then I won't wake up to my my alarm.
So if I
it's music, you just like, let's say it's like Willie Nelson or something, I'll see Willie Nelson in the dream just like playing. I'll be like, that's really weird. Why is he here all of a sudden?
So I'm going to try a song tonight. I'm going to like go and preset one of the songs I have on my phone. It's going to play when I wake up tomorrow. I'm going to see if I see it in the dream. I'm going to do it all week and see if we can talk about that next week. Because just pick some nice inspiring melody that encourages you to get out of bed and make your bed and get after your day. That'd be fun.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Are you going to do, like, heavy rock and roll or, like...
I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
Throw on some juice to wake up to in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Da, 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 da.
Come
Whoa.
On.
Yeah, we could.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that'd be cool. Yeah, I should probably change up my alarm. I think it's about time to stop using that that cruddy alarm.
We got to find something better. All right, Shane, rein us in, man.
Now we're rolling right along. We're rolling right along. So, dude, I just want to ask you, still staying on that topic for one more quick second. Do you guys listen to music to go to bed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how about you?
No.
No.
Does it help?
I found that like relaxing, like kind of jazz music.
Mm. Yeah, that's
helps me fall asleep.
Kenny G on the track.
Mm-hmm. Any music that's like from before the 50s kind of calms me down. You know, something from like the Fallout 4 soundtrack or something. Oh, man.
Yeah, show tune kind of music, you know, Dino, Frank Sinatra.
It's hard. I might try that because sometimes I'm just laying in bed. I put my phone way across the room because you don't want to be on your phone like all night scrolling.
Well,
and like I just sit in bed. And I'm like, how do I fall asleep? Like, what's the strategy here?
Yeah, and that's the thing is once you start focusing on it, like you're laying in bed, you're looking at the ceiling, and you're like, I'm not asleep yet. As soon as that thought crosses your mind, it's game over for a few hours.
Music could be a middle ground there to bridge that gap between thinking about solving all your life problems within a span of 2 minutes and also getting some good rest, which is good for your mind, body, and physical health and mental well-being. So that'd be good. Yeah.
How do you, like, quiet your mind to make yourself go to sleep? If you're thinking in your head, you know, you're like, oh, my God, I can't fall asleep. I'm still awake. This is going on forever. And like you said, once that happens,
you're done for a while. Tomorrow.
Yeah, and then, you know, it just keeps you up. And then I start, like, looking at my phone because I'm bored, and it keeps me up even longer. Like, what do you do to quiet your mind when you're like, all right, I'm going to bed right now. It's happening. We're shutting everything down.
Yeah, it's a lot of since I struggle with sleeping, it's a lot of breathing slower. You know, like that stuff they teach you like in karate when you were a kid. They're like, breathe in 4 seconds, breathe out 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. Just that slowing down your heart rate automatically makes you more tired. So I do that. I don't eat before bed. That helps.
How long before?
Rule of thumb. Probably like 2 hours, I'd say.
I've actually heard that's really effective.
Yeah.
Because when you eat, your body is working to digest the food.
Yeah.
But if you eat before bed, you're trying to work while you're trying to sleep, which is rest, and you can't work and rest at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's why
it's a really good point.
When you have like midnight snacks and stuff, you'll wake up and you'll feel as hungry as you were the night before. You'll feel tired, and that is because your body's been working all night, and so it feels like it needs new energy and needs that food in the morning.
I've
been dealing with this for a long time, so all I do is get ready for bed every day. I'm just kidding. But it does seem like that sometimes.
The wind down process is coming soon for you.
Don't lay in bed until you're ready to go to bed. Mm-hmm. That's another
thing. I've heard that
before. That's hard. That's hard in my dorm because all I have in my room is a bed.
Yeah. They're like, use your bedroom if like you own a house as your bedroom.
Yeah. Don't go in there until it's bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all of that stuff, just pattern, you know, making your mind just know that this is the time to slow down, don't think, shut off.
Mm.
Anything that you can do to distract yourself from just continually looping to what am I doing? You know, like thinking like if you get in the moment, like what I do is I stare at my eyelids when I'm close my eyes for a second just to cancel out all other thoughts. And just by doing that, that makes my brain go, oh, time to, and then shut down. And then I usually
stare at your eyelids with your eyes closed.
Yeah, I just, like, because it's like, you know, either that or I stare at the ceiling and be
black, then you're staring at black.
Well, that what that does is if you focus on it, because
oh, yeah.
Then you don't really think about what else, whatever else pops in your mind.
Hey, that's kind of
cool.
Tough.
Yeah,
that's tough. Just even like a few deep breaths, like even like I know you pitch, and Shane, you've pitched before. Like when you're thinking about a lot of things on the mound, you're not going to be good, you know. Mm-hmm. So like even just taking a deep breath, like you said, and like mm-hmm. okay, then focusing. Or not focusing, like getting lost in the game, that's when you excel the best. And that's like when you get lost and just like trying to go to bed, that's probably when you execute on going to bed. Yeah. And this, I know we've gotten a lot of support on the QUTV Hawk Talk podcast from a lot of students on campus. So like student and student athletes, which is a lot of the people here, they can benefit from, you know, getting some better sleep, you know, waking up to something decent and also going to bed at a decent time, not eating too early before bed and getting a decent amount of sleep by using some of those tactics, like just using your bed as your sanctuary just to go to sleep. And also, you know, using some of the tactics when to calm down those thoughts is why I talked about it. So, you know, a little personal development here.
Yeah, that helps for athletes too, because a lot of athletes overlook the value that sleep has.
Yeah, they focus on energy. They don't mm-hmm. focus on
have to sleep to regain that energy. Yeah, replenish that energy.
Exactly, exactly.
LeBron James says he tries to sleep 10 to 12 hours after an NBA game. So I know we talk about athletes, but one of the best, he focuses on sleep hardcore. And what a segue this is. Mm-hmm. Talking about LBJ and talking about how he, one of the most Mike Breen, the announcer, said one of the most surprising results I've ever seen in an NBA Finals game when the Heat won. You know, thought the Heat would maybe get a game. But beside the point, LeBron James, he says he focuses on sleep hardcore. He uses an app called Calm. Mm-hmm. He sometimes drinks a little wine and just sleeps all day. Like, he tries to get a lot of rest. He replenishes his body with sleep, and he spends over $1 million per year on his body with personal trainers, chefs, mm-hmm. you know, coaches, sleep experts, and he does a really good job in investing all he can in body. And he talks about the importance of sleep, and that's one of the greatest athletes of our generation. You know, you can debate of how good he is, but he is one of the best, and he focuses on it hardcore.
Yeah, so that's what he has to use to get to sleep, and he is an active athlete, you know. Imagine just like people like me doing that same routine. We probably get the best sleep of our life.
It's called Calm. Yeah. That's the app he uses. And he like legit uses it. I don't know if he's like a sponsor for it or not, but like I know he uses it because I heard him like talk. It wasn't like get this app, mm-hmm. you know.
What does this Calm app do? Does it just like play music or talk to you?
Yeah, like
or
has
something?
Like sounds like by the ocean.
I think
can,
I've
like,
heard
go
it
through
advertisement. It's like it's meditation type stuff. So it's like now you are in a calming.
Yeah, it's like you can hear like the ocean.
Welcome to the peaceful, serene ocean side.
Doesn't like that kind of stuff? I feel like that
take
would put me on edge more than
in count 70. Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah. But that's what he says he uses, and despite the fact that I think Wyatt brought up a good point about, I mean, have you guys ever meditated or gone through like a relaxation thing where you focus on just your breath and nothing else in the world? Like you talked about the breath.
Yeah.
That is like, that's the most peace I can ever be at with my mind is when I've gone through an exercise like that. Mm-hmm. And now that we're talking about it, I'm kind of motivated to try it again sometimes when I have so much thoughts, but like
we do it on the podcast and they're just silence for like,
oh yeah,
10 minutes,
or we do it before you know,
and then talk about it after.
You're like, wow, that was really was really great, guys.
Big facts.
Oh wow.
The idea is to lock in on your breath,
yeah,
and just focus on that, and you get a ton of thoughts, you know, your heads, you get that headspace clear going through meditation. Yeah, I just didn't know if any of you guys have tried that before.
Yeah, whenever they say clear your mind or whatever, that it's true. That's what you're trying to achieve, is just all those thoughts are to be, as soon as they're gone, you're automatically more calm and centered.
Inhale, exhale. Yeah.
Or as Kevin Costner, his character in the great movie For the Love of the Game, clear the mechanism. Mm. How about that? Try that one on for size.
I like it.
Oh, good stuff.
You just got to, like, you can't, like, you got to have a clear mind when you're trying to peak perform at anything, it seems like.
Yeah, it's, like a sport, sleeping takes practice, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you can do it, like, loosey-loosey if you have, like, your whole life, but if you really want to get benefits out of it, It does take practice. It does take preparation.
And some people even benefit, they've said, from tracking their sleep on some device like an Apple Watch or going to get a sleep study done. And I've seen it. I've heard a couple of different thoughts on sleep study, because one side of the equation says when you go to do a sleep study, all the controllable variables are different, say in a hospital or a lab, than you are in your bed. So it's better, I've heard, to consistently like track your sleep on a device that you own. But yeah. And then other people have said they've gotten benefit from a sleep study. Maybe like people tracking their sleep, even consistently seeing, hey, am I getting enough? You know, is my body fully recovering and resting on like those Apple Watch devices? Now they can like tell you those things, like what your heart rate was and stuff like that.
There's some apps that you put all that stuff in. It does tell you it. Like, you put how much you've been drinking, how much you've been eating, how much you've been sleeping, how much you've been exercising, and you put it all together, and it'll tell you, like, where your body is, what you need to be healthier, what you need to change, what's doing good. And that's just crazy. We didn't have stuff like that, growing up. So it's now is the time to be healthy.
Back in our day, man.
Back in our day, we just ran outside and got healthy. Yeah. Now we got to do all this mental health.
We didn't have any shoes. We went outdoors, ran around in the grass. We didn't have any phones.
And it was always snowing, and it was uphill just to go outside in the yard.
Back in our day.
Dude, back in our day is crazy.
Well, I can't
like,
wait.
What are
we
going to tell the next generation? Like back in our
back
day,
in my
we
day,
had...
we were trapped inside because we had to wear masks.
True. Back in our day, we had iPhones. Now you guys just communicate through
telepathy.
Yeah, like some Neuralink in the back of your head. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh,
what's a phone?
I cannot wait.
Back in our day,
an old man
like
that.
We had these cars that drove for you. Now you just teleport.
Oh my gosh, I don't trust these newfangled teleporters. I remember back in the day when we would destroy the planet with cars. That was a good old day.
I remember back when we had an oven and we actually had to cook. Now everything's just instant make.
You guys remember back when oxygen was made by trees and wasn't recycled in a factory? And everyone's just like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you guys remember when we lived on Earth?
Wow.
Oh, back in the
day. We're going.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it isn't crazy to think, like, how much has the world changed 100 years back from now? 1920
oh, it's from
now. So what is 100 years forward going to look like?
We have no clue.
I can't wait for the next thing, because what was it? It went from, just warfare kind of brought everything into modern day. But nuclear technology was discovered in the last 100 years. The internet. What's the next thing that's going to be discovered that we have, like, right
the,
now?
The
we
internet
can't,
is just
we
like
can't
a black
fathom.
Hole now.
Yeah. The internet is such a weird thing because, you know, it evolves and changes. It's not the same as it was when it was invented. But we can kind of understand it now. You know, we can wrap our brains around it. We've lived with it our whole lives. We understand what the internet is. So what do you think, just like kind of a possibility, would be the next thing?
There will be something.
Because, yeah, that just blows our mind away. Like, because would it be like the neural link where we can, like, just talk by, like,
ask
transfer
Elon
thoughts?
Musk.
Transfer
it'll
thoughts.
Be where
it's coming soon.
He's wanting to get it, too. Mm. Yeah, and or it could be something where you're walking around and instead of scrolling on your phone for, like, Instagram, people just have, like, their Instagram feeds on, like, their forehead or something, and then you can, like... You can
like a hologram type thing.
Oh, like Black Mirror, that
just
show.
Presentation.
Like Black Mirror, like that episode, and they see it, and then you can just like you can like it, like when you're walking around.
Oh my gosh, so crazy.
I say I wouldn't get it. I don't know. I wouldn't get that.
Speaking of progress in the world, self-driving cars. What do you guys think about that? Do you think? Are you interested? Like, would you get one or no?
Like
if it worked,
like a Tesla.
Like just one where it's.
Yes,
hands
I would.
Off.
You would? I would. I would be down A if I had the capital.
Yeah.
And I don't.
I don't think any of us.
I don't think I ever will because, I mean, I'm going to invest. My first investment would be a house, you know, and like.
Well, no. Let's say it's.
You get equity on that. Like, I'm not trying
to. Let's say they get cheaper. Let's say they get to the price of normal cars. But when do you make that mental transition to, I'll let it drive me? Is that now? You already
ready? Like, I usually would. Plan, like if I'm putting a down payment on a car, maybe a used car that I could have for more than a decade.
Used self-driving car.
But I
that sounds safe.
I would be down.
Okay.
I mean, I think the technology is pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until all cars are self-driving cars, and then I'll get one.
let me
I'd
just
be down. They could drive for you. You could just
that's true.
Chill.
They say you could sleep on your commute to work. You can do whatever
you
want.
Yeah,
you
could
there.
Just be texting.
Well, technology's not 100%, man. Like,
no, I don't trust it at all. I don't trust it at all, man.
It's just like the robot umpires people talk about in Major League Baseball, like because the strike zone's right here,
yeah.
And there's like a ball a little off the plate, and the umpire calls it a strike, right?
Yeah.
Because like they're umpires, and it's human eyes.
Yeah.
They can't literally know the exact little thing on a box on a television.
But that robot can.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. They've tried it out. And robot umpires, like in the minor leagues, and they've been fairly accurate, but they're not 100%. So that's why they haven't been implemented in the MLB. But I think once they get 100%, they'll probably use them.
Yeah, so I was just going to propose that. Do you think within our lifetimes there won't be any umpires?
No, there will be umpires. Because they got a
field umpires.
But there'll be technical umpires where they're fixing the program during the game.
Tech umpires. Also, they have, if they're a robot, there still will be a guy behind the plate like there's in the minors because he gets, like, the message if it's a ball or a strike, and he's, like, the communicator of that message. So they still need that real-time
umpire.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what that means, though? True. They're not going to be trained as hard as they are now. They're going to be it's going to be like anybody can be an umpire because it's the robot tells you what the
call is. In the lower levels, there won't be the resources or anything
and
like that.
You still
that,
need
so.
To know the rules of the game and implement them and force
them.
Well,
yeah, but I mean, be an umpire, you have to. I feel like you have to be really, like, a stickler for the rules.
Stickler, but they still have to be.
Yeah, and
I'm sure they will be like, no, you still have to be like this.
Calling balls and strikes
is
like,
not all of the game.
But
balls and strikes, I feel like all of us could do a decent job at it.
Yeah.
I feel like the hardest part of umpires when they go to umpire school is learning the rules. So. Yeah.
I just feel like technology makes people lazier. Oh, so you're going to get more umpires that don't know what's going on.
I agree.
As well as
or more people
that
wanting
do
to do it because they think it's easier.
Yeah, yeah.
A ball and strike robot can't call an infield fly.
That's true.
You're always going to need to have people out there, I think.
But. Yeah. And it's like, if you're a pitcher, like, it kind of feels weird when there's not like an umpire behind there. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess like he's like your shield.
A sense of, like,
comfort,
atmosphere or something.
Exactly. Like, almost like he's, you know, your backup catcher. You got a chance to hit him if the catcher misses it.
Yeah. Or it's like, but if there's nothing there, I feel like you could be more prone to a wild pitch.
I know, it's bare. There's so much room.
There's so much free space behind your eye. Like,
yes.
I know they say lock in on the glove, but, like, the view behind there kind of affects how you throw sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, man. I bet it even makes it feel like the glove is smaller, because if it's just him out there, as soon as there's that person behind him, then it's like, oh, wait, now I can see the actual size perspective.
You can't have that tunnel vision where you just lock in because there's so much.
Yeah.
And, like, they talked about having tunnel vision. It was, like, a popular song a while back, but, like, having that tunnel vision pretty important.
Mm. Wow.
Kodak.
The digital side of sports is so – I can't even think of, like, how complicated it will be in the future. You know, because right now I feel like sports is pretty much untainted. It's all outside. You know, it's all what recordings will use of it. But, like, in the game itself, it's all still very manual, very physical. There's people doing the jobs.
Yeah, but we're
there's
starting
still the
to
human. We'll never lose the human element.
Exactly.
In sport.
Eventually it'll be
robots
doing the sports.
There's some things that robots will never be able to do that humans do. You guys agree? Or will robots eventually be able to, like, think quickly on their feet and
AI.
Intuition?
They say that AI has the potential to gain intelligence exponentially, which means that they could outdo humans when it comes to reaction time and thought and things like that.
Yeah,
but just consciousness is the thing that's going
to... Is it like an organic human thought? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It would probably have to. Well, what they say is it all starts with pre-programmed things, and then an AI is able to develop new information.
Yeah, kind of like a human develops habits.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So now they think that an AI potentially could get to that point where it's at a human or past it.
They have colleges where people study and develop AI systems. Like they just started coming out with, like, the College of Communication, like College of AI. Like, that's like. It's happening. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of progress isn't made on those because one way to get an AI to learn is for it to interact with people. Like on the internet, there are these, sometimes the colleges and stuff will post an AI and you're supposed to interact with it and it will respond. And then based off of responses with other people, it'll learn how to respond to certain things. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it just ends up being racist or just completely wrong and meme filled and stuff, because a lot of people on the internet will just give it the worst stuff. And so it like ruins a lot of these AI on the internet because people are like making jokes. and then the AI is like, this is the appropriate response. And it'll say like, Obama did 9/11. And it's like, whoa. Like, how did it get this? Like but it is just random information people put in it. So I think AIs will never be perfect because they don't really know. They can't determine what makes sense and what doesn't. They just do. They just learn and they do it. You know.
That's a good point.
We have that ability to know what's right.
We got feeling.
We have feelings, emotions.
Have some feel.
AI.
Yeah, but what's the title of this podcast? What is sleep and future stuff like?
And some sports in the beginning.
Sports, sleep, and stuff
QU
that might happen.
Health, fitness, and future.
QU, health, fitness, and future. What are we going to talk about next week?
That is a great philosophical question. Let us contemplate it all week.
That's a deep existential.
Well, by then, the NBA finals should be wrapped up.
There we go. And then and you were gonna change up your
MLB playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were gonna change up your sleeping this week, so we get
an update on Will's sleep schedule.
Yeah, his dreaming.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do the music before you go to sleep.
That's every day,
let us know about that one. That's an interesting one.
Try rock and roll one night and see how that goes.
I was gonna do like Katy Perry, like the firework one.
Baby,
like,
good vibes.
That would not put you to sleep.
No, not to sleep. To wait the alarm to wake up.
Oh yeah, no, that'd be good.
Yeah, but also I'll try stuff to go to bed as well.
Yeah. What did you recommend? Jazz? You said jazz music? Yeah. Smooth jazz.
There's a station on Pandora I found. It's called Relaxation Radio.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect. So it's stuff to implement this week. You know, we talked about it before the podcast, but Alex walked in with a gallon of water. So maybe trying to stay more hydrated.
Yeah, definitely.
We could do. Yeah. We could try to get better sleep by, you know, maybe listening to music before bed and waking up to more pleasant sounds, and not eating as early before bed and using our bed as a sanctuary. So focusing on better sleep and better hydration. Maybe we'll be more in a better mental state next week to talk about stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely.
Who knows?
We'll see.
We will find out when we get
there. We'll find out.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, thank you all for joining us on this edition of QUTV. Hot Talk for Alex, Will, and Wyatt. I'm Shane. So long. We'll talk to you next time.